Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, it's top of the hour, folks. Time for your chance to win $1,000. It's 560 WQAM's Take Dono's Dollars. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word WHEEL to 72881 and you're registered. That's WHEEL, W-H-E-E-L, to 72881. 72881. Text it there. If you don't win this time, your next chance at the top of the next hour. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. It's all brought to you by Anjar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE-WHEEL. Is the 8 a.m. code word. Text it to 72881.
All right, we got Brian Billick going to join us about 15 minutes from now. We'll talk to the former head coach of the Baltimore Ravens and talk a little bit about a little drama in New York, talk a little bit about football down here. And speaking of football down here, anytime this happens, it's going to bring up a history lesson. Isaac Asiata. The fifth-round pick out of Utah back in 2017 joins a club of guys that were all released. And I don't know if people remember, speaking of Adam Gase, when he blew out most of them in one day. I think he did one quick Jamil Douglas, Billy Turner, and Dallas Thomas all the same day. And asked his offensive line coach, what do you think? He goes, oh, they're not really getting any better. They're kind of all the same. He goes, get rid of them. So we have struggled at drafting guards is the point here. And guys were taken, Turner and Thomas in the third round, Jamil Douglas in the fourth round, Asiata, who is a Pac-12 offensive lineman of the year before he was drafted, got cut. Fifth round pick out of Utah. So we have not done well drafting guards.
Well, I thought you could have stopped at drafting.
Well, no. But
this we've specific,
really,
yeah.
We've actually...
No, you've whiffed on just about everything you've taken in the last decade.
Done all right on tackles. You've been fine on your two tackles. Matter of fact, you wish you had both of them right now. You hit on a center and Pouncey, although that thing didn't have a nice ending.
No.
Doing great out with the Chargers right now. So you did well. It's really, for me, Zach, it's specifically. And by the way, those were all first-round picks I just mentioned.
Yeah.
Center and those two tackles were all number ones, which you'd like to think that you're going to hit on the number ones like that. But, boy, getting guards has just been really, really hard for this team. And for everybody says, and we've had a zillion coaches tell us, oh, you can find – started with Jimmy. Oh, you can find – you have to get guys in the first round, and you just, you know, find a guy that you like in the third, fourth, or fifth and plug him in at guard. He can be a slow-footed tackle, a big guy. You just move him inside. He's fine. And because the whole thing with guards has been you can play guard if you're a big, strong guy, even if you don't have great feet. That's been the thing. And quick feet guys you like to have outside, they can slide and hold up better against those pass rushers. But boy, hasn't happened.
No.
Has not happened for the Dolphins with that guard position. It's been a really struggle. And
I mean, outside of the quarterback position, it's been one of the hardest positions to draft and get right for this team.
For this team.
Yeah, I'm saying other teams, you're right. Other teams, you see Green Bay draft a guy in the sixth round. He starts for 5 years on the offensive line. You see New England take a guy in the fifth or sixth round, fourth round, and he starts for 4 or 5 years at the guard. And then he goes and gets big money, and he lets him leave and go somewhere else. Everyone else is fine with that. What happens here? In the scouting department here, when you're looking at offensive linemen, specifically guards, who is in charge of that? Who's in charge of that one position? Do we have a guy? Because if we don't, we probably should just hire a guy just to do that.
But the overall draft has got to figure that out with the help of of coaches, and I like this guy, and I think he can play, and we've watched, and all that. We just, whatever it is, have not done a good job with it. And by the way, the other part of the problem has been we've had a lot of veterans come in here at the end of their careers and get injured, or just not play at a very high level. And it's been both over the last few years that hit this team. You know, last year you had all those guys get hurt. You had a ton of guys get hurt. And Isaac Asiata still couldn't get on the field. He still didn't play him. He, matter of fact, just got to suit up a couple more times. So that one did not have a good ending. And, of course, every time one of these happens, you look at the draft class, and then you go, well, just add him to that list of guards that wasn't good enough to play, because that's a bad look. Just another bad look. 2017 draft overall.
Bad.
Just bad. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to get a passing grade on that one, even with two defensive tackles in the middle there that are really good.
It's just has not. Late guys, that's it.
Has not been overall.
What happened to your 1, 2, and 3 that year that we specifically say every year that 1, 2, and 3 has got to be starters on this team, people that are contributors on this team? I mean, we can't keep going back to that Xavien Howard draft and saying how great it was, and that's the only one in the last decade that we can look at.
No, I agree. You just can't have that one.
And that was a great one, though. That was a really good draft for this team. The difference is that look at the 3 in front of that, or right before that. Like, how many guys you still have from that, or 5 from before that, and then the 2 after that. Like, that's the biggest problem. You got to be consistent in that draft at least a little bit.
And then the other one has been we cut guys, and sometimes they get it figured out with other teams. I don't know if they get coached differently, if the system's that much different, but we have had some guys that have gone on and kept their careers going and gotten new contracts and been pretty good players. I know we gave up on John Jerry.
Mm.
Remember, I'm going back now, but hell, John Jerry might still be in the league. Is he still playing? He was. Big old guy for the Giants that played, and we always thought he couldn't play here.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, guys do go into different systems, and I don't know if they leave here and they get better coaching through the years or what it's been, but, man.
Something happens when they leave here.
Well, no, some guys can't play.
No, some just
think. Some guys just...
But then you see the other guys that are around this league that signed deals, and Green Bay just signed a 4-year deal. I mean, you see that, and you just go, what happened? Like, what happened wrong here that the guy couldn't figure it out here? Was it him? Was it coaching? Was it a mixture of both? What the hell was it?
Well, some of it has been coaching. Some of this stuff has been, because we've seen some of our guys go to other places when we thought their careers were over and end up being starting centers and guards and other stuff. Hell, we've seen them leave here and go to some really good teams and keep their careers going. So it is just really, really bad. By the way, the PGA Championship, Koepka playing with Tiger yesterday, and man, right off the bat, Koepka birdies the first hole. Tiger gets a double bogey.
Wah, wah.
So he's 3 back before you know it. Koepka ends up starting with a 7-under 63, just tears it up to take the lead in the first round. And Tiger ends up +2 on the day. So he's actually able to get it back. He was under for a while before making some more bogeys. I think he had 2 double bogeys yesterday, too. But he had an eagle. So he was all over the place with his game yesterday. And hopefully for all of us that are looking forward to sitting down on a Sunday afternoon, Tiger is able to get this thing
Today's
turned around.
Today's a big around. Day for him. That's
but, you know, the problem is this. And I understand for Tiger that he can't play all the time because of his back. I get it. And the cold weather and all that stuff, he's got to take all that in consideration. But, boy, you can't go a month between a Masters, take a full month off and just hit golf balls back home, and then show up and expect to be super sharp at these golf. First of all, most of these major championships, wherever they have them, they make these golf courses pretty tough. They're usually pretty tight. The fairways are tight. The roughs are a little longer. And so, I mean, they don't want everybody going out shooting 25 under at these damn things to win it. Now, we'll see what Koepka does. He was unbelievable yesterday.
Koepka's on that pace right now.
But Man, I just, it's hard to do. So we'll see if Tiger can bounce back. He had his moments yesterday for everybody that's Tiger watching, like I am. Not a lot of you may not be, but that was.
I think a lot of people are, to be honest with you.
Oh, no. The numbers prove out all the time that we've got a lot of people on the Tiger watch watching that don't usually do it. Hey, by the way, you can join us here on a Friday on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. 56022. We're going to come back and have Brian Billick join us and talk a little bit of football with him, with everything going on with the New York Jets and everything going on here with the Miami Dolphins. So we'll have that stuff for you when we come back.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
All right, we're going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. We're going to bring on Brian Billick from the NFL Network. You hear him on our show here all during football season as well. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning. How are we doing?
We're doing great, man. There's nothing like having a little drama, you know, in the off season with general managers and head coaches. And I know through the years, Brian, we've talked to you a lot about this and relationships between GMs and head coaches and differences and throw in occasionally a VP of football operations or a president or a CEO, and you can have a real mess. And I know you guys, you and Ozzie had a great relationship and obviously great respect, and Ozzie's really good at what he was doing. What do you think of the whole Jets thing between Adam Gase and McCognan and McCagnan and everybody else?
Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise. I don't know, and again, not that I follow it that closely with all the teams, but and particularly for that to happen now, clearly it is a power struggle, and obviously the difference between Gase and McCagnan coming in, and it sounds like obviously McCagnan maybe wasn't the one that hired Gase, whether the ownership or someone else is involved, and so you know when that happens, there was going to be a power struggle. And for them to do that with their new coach, that obviously shows a level of dissatisfaction with McCagnan for a guy that, you know, is coming off having been let go in Miami. That's an awful lot of faith and strength and power struggle with a guy that had struggled in the previous job.
Brian, you've been in that head coaching spot before. From the outside looking in, how bad of a look is this for Adam Gase? Whether he had something to do with it and ran into that owner's office and said, I want someone new, or it wasn't, but how bad of a look overall is it for Adam?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if the look really matters, but the bullseye is and timetable is real quick now. I mean, you better be good quick. When you come in from a previous gig like that and having not done well. And now, you know, obviously they hired him as the quarterback whisperer coming in to be the guy that's going to get Donald, you know, AKA what happened in Los Angeles with Goff. And, you know, that's what they're anticipating. That's what they're hoping for. And it better happen quick because you that is where the power is, but obviously comes responsibility as well. And so it hastens the time frame, that's for sure.
Let's talk about old Le'Veon Bell, who seems to always be somehow in the middle of all this stuff with whether Adam Gase likes him or not, or thought he's too much money. But I want to ask you about the other part of this, the voluntary OTAs and workouts, and then the guys don't show up. Not a lot. There are very few guys, but when they don't, it's a big deal. Le'Veon Bell being one of those guys. Would that be a big deal for you? Having a guy get a new contract and not show up or not?
It would be in the first year. I think we make too much of the OTAs.
Okay.
Particularly when it comes to the veterans. Certainly for the rookies, you can't get enough exposure to them. To the veterans, I mean, it's a long season. Coaches, we tend to do too much. Obviously, the new collective bargaining agreement helped in that regard. I think it's too much is made of it. However, for Le'Veon Bell, coming particularly out of the situation that he had in Pittsburgh, coming to the new team, now with a new coach, a new direction, for me, it's a bad sign. It's the, you know, the first year, yeah, you need to, okay, yeah, we got to be on the same page. We're coming at this together. You know, I kind of like what they said in Pittsburgh when they let Bell and AB go. It was, you know, we want volunteers, not hostages. and for the first year, it's, you know, I'm not going to make a federal case out of it, but it's disappointing. It would be for me that at least the first year, yeah, from here on out, fine. But this first time, hey man, you got to be here so we can kind of show that we're kind of heading in the same direction.
Coach, don't you think, though, before you sign him, and you gave him a nice offer, apparently a lot more than everybody else, don't you say, hey, by the way, it'd really be nice, you know, we're really looking forward to you being here, but really need you to be at these workouts. You don't think that was talked about before he signed that contract?
Yeah. My guess is that when that was happening and the money was exchanging hands, it was all, oh, yeah, we're definitely going to do it. But then now when it came time, he's like the Chinese delegation that got there and said, nah, we're not going to do it.
Brian, I got to ask you a question. You sat in draft rooms and war rooms with Ozzy, with other people, talking about drafting certain positions or we need a guy at this one. Why did this organization down here, the Miami Dolphins, have such a hard time over the last decade drafting a guard that works out? Is it the personnel? Is it the coaching? Like, what does it that they just can't find a guy to fit in that guard position when other teams get fifth, sixth, fourth round picks that are starters for a couple of years? What's the deal with that guard position?
Well, typically, I'll say this, and that's a tough position because typically it's not one you put as high a priority on. Particularly when you draft. Now, the fact that they where they got Dieter, you know, in the third round is kind of like where you address it. The problem is you got to address it. You got to, and with the offensive line, that's why it's such, in order to put a good offensive line together, you got a lot of spots to fill. I mean, you got to be deep, at least seven deep in the active roster. And guys that can switch from guard to center and left tackle to right tackle, move inside and outside. So it's not an easy position to fill. The problem is many times you try to do it later in free agency or later in the draft as opposed to, you know, it's not sexy. Nobody wakes up on Thursday on the first day of the draft going, boy, I hope I get a guard.
Yeah, right.
First round. But sometimes that's where you got to go early to get the better players.
All right, we got an open quarterback competition down here. I know you guys on NFL Network, Coach, everybody talking about it, Rosen and Fitzpatrick, and Coach has come out and said this thing's wide open. Don't think because we gave up a second and a five for this guy, it's his job. How do you think this all plays out down here?
Oh, wow. If you don't think Rosen's the guy, why'd you give up a second and a fifth?
Right.
I mean, Fitzpatrick, we know what Fitzpatrick is. And he's a solid pro. But over a 16-game schedule, 8-game schedule, you're going to get – it's like Vinny Testaverde. You know, when Vinny threw it 40 times, when Vinny could throw it 25, 30 times, you could get a magnificent Vinny Testaverde. You could get a magnificent Ryan Fitzpatrick. You can get a bad one. When a guy has to throw it 40, 45 times, you get it all. And that's kind of what Fitzpatrick is. So I don't know that anybody really believes, and I don't want to sound disrespectful to Fitzpatrick because he's a good, solid pro. He's just not going to be your 16-game go in the future. You know, Miami's got a ways to go. And so why not go with Rosen and every snap he takes as the starter to find out by year's end, do we have our guy? Have we not lucked into our guy? But if we solved our problem now with a second, fifth-round pick with Josh Rosen, and there are a lot of people that think Josh Rosen can be a good NFL quarterback, or do we need to now go address this more long-term? Because no matter who is in there, this team needs a lot of work.
Yeah. Oh, no. This is a 2-year rebuild. 1 year is done, and next year, all the draft picks, all the money freeing up and everything. You're exactly right. It is exactly that. Did you like Rosen coming out, Coach?
And my evaluation on him coming out, it depends on what you think of the guy, and you in Miami would know better than anybody. Some people, when I bring this up, going, ah, God, you're killing the guy. I think he's Jay Cutler. Now, let's remember now, Jay Cutler was a 4,000-yard passer in this league at one point. Okay? So we all know the promise of Jay Cutler and what he can be. I think Josh Rosen can be that. I think he also has the trimming of, like a Jay Cutler, and this isn't necessarily their fault, both these guys went through a lot of coordinators, went through a lot of transitions. didn't have the stable situations that some other quarterbacks have had. And I'm not making excuse for Jay Cutler or Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen had that way in college, and what happens the very first year he gets into the NFL? He's with a terrible team, and he flips coordinators. So that's not all Josh Rosen. I don't know that we have a fair evaluation of Josh Rosen. I don't know over the course of the entire career, although you've got a lot of numbers there to look at, that we got a fair evaluation of Jay Cutler given the way his career went. But those two are similar in that a great deal of potential, but we'll have to see if it actually pans out.
All right, I want to talk about I want to bring up the Cleveland Browns for just one second. How much pressure is on Freddie Kitchens this year with everything they've done in the offseason? Is there more pressure on Freddie Kitchens or Dorsey the way that this team, if they end up at 7-9 or 8-8, that's going to be a disappointment if they don't make the playoffs?
Well, anytime you maintain the job, that you're the holdover, there's more immediate pressure. There's no question about that. Plus, and I've been a critic of Cleveland for a long, long time in terms of the way they went about it when they had Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill running the front office and that whole thing. And so I've been very critical of Cleveland. Cleveland Browns look like a pretty darn good football team to me. And I think Dorsey's effect is clear-cut. I think particularly in that division where you have what's going on in Baltimore and is Lamar Jackson, how he's going to do. Cincinnati is in transition. We'll see what Pittsburgh does now with Le'Veon Bell and AB gone and where's Ben and that whole thing. I think Cleveland has a very real chance to be atop that division. And I think those are the expectations. So to answer your question directly, absolutely. I think Kitchens is on a hot seat because of those reasons. They're expected to be good. They've supported with good players. And he's coming from the old regime, which means you don't get that mulligan that a first-time coach. It's like Adam Gase in New York. He's under more pressure there than had he not been the head coach in Miami and what went down there, because it's all that bad stuff from before.
Right.
If you struggle, gets pulled up. Now, if you do well, it all goes away. Well, that must have been Miami. That must have been their fault. With Kitchens, if he does well, clearly, yeah, that was Hugh Jackson and that was Todd. That was all their fault. But if bad things happen, then you know what? You were part of the problem before, and you appear to be the part of the problem now.
Coach, does Dwayne Haskins win that Redskins job over Keenum and McCoy?
Well, let's go back to the conversation we just had with Miami and Josh Rosen. Yeah, to me, I I've always said, you got to play a guy. And if you take a guy in the top 15 pick, you're saying he's a franchise quarterback by the very definition. If you're saying, he needs to sit and learn, I said it earlier, the only thing you learn by sitting on the bench as a rookie is how to get to the stadium and where to eat after. there's no learning. You got to play him. They're going to be a better team. He's going to be a better quarterback the first snap of 2020 for every snap Dwayne Haskins takes in 2019. Now, he is a rookie, so there's, but if you're going to protect him and start these other guys, I think Jay Gruden needs to go back and look at the history. He needs to get on the phone and talk to John Fox and talk to Jeff Fisher and talk about, trying to segue a veteran quarterback and piecemeal and putting in, then your first round pick and see if that doesn't turn out real well. I'm talking from the coaching standpoint now. Yeah, I'd play the guy right now.
All right, Brian, we appreciate your time as always.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
That's Brian Billick, NFL Network analyst, joining us. Talk a little football here.
He got the hell out of there.
He's
fast.
Done.
He messed around.
Bye, Brian. Bye.
Gone.
Peace.
Hope he's wrong about Jay Cutler, because all I could think about was Jay Cutler's last year here.
Is that the worst thing? Someone brings that up and you're just like, hey.
It's like, Jay Cutler. Now listen, Jay Cutler has talent.
He does.
No question about it.
A decent quarterback.
But that Jay Cutler we just saw.
No.
I just felt like he came in to get $10 million, the hell out of here.
Hey, listen.
He checked out getting ready to get his reality show going with the old lady.
Joe, you're out of the game for a little while, and someone calls up and says you want $10 million to play for a season? Sign me up.
That's like 10, 11, 12 years of being on Fox doing those games on the weekends.
That's right. Why go in the booth when I could go play?
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Don't forget to join Hawk and Crowder. Their show is live today at Twin Peaks in Davie from 2 to 6 p.m. Then you can hang out with Channing as the Bucks host the Raptors in playoff hoops action. Enjoy whiskey specials all night, and there'll be plenty of giveaways as well. Twin Peaks eats, drinks, and scenic views today, 2 to 6 p.m. Hawk and Crowder live from Twin Peaks in Davie. And don't forget, in about 25 minutes or so, we'll have a new code word for you for your chance to win $1,000 of Dono's dollars. That's coming up at the top of the hour.
So, it sounds like Brian Billick tried to mess up our Friday a little bit.
Well,
talking
somebody
about-
texted in during the break, and that's why I brought it up to you. Can't ruin a Friday, huh, Joe? Brian Billick just saying Josh Rosen is the next Jay Cutler might have just done it.
Yeah, he did say. And, of course, we all thought, you talking about that Jay Cutler we just had?
That's a bad version of, well, the Jay Cutler that you don't want Josh Rosen to be Adam Gase's Jay Cutler from 2 years ago.
Well, Jay's a little different dude to start with, as everybody's probably figured out. And if you've watched his reality show, you figured
it out. My wife watches it. I can't stop watching when Jay's on because he's hysterical.
Yeah. And by the way, that's just him being him.
Yeah.
I don't think he has to, like, hey, can you be a little different? But no, just be myself. I'm fine. But yeah, let's hope that works out. I do agree with one thing. He's got to play. For the team saying we're going to play the best guy, and if the other guy doesn't play, well, if the other guy doesn't play, it means you don't think much of him,
and
you're going to draft a quarterback. So you got to find out. Whatever. Have you noticed, though, everybody's all over the board on Josh Rosen?
Yes.
But they're, you know, a lot of it has to do. He came from Arizona, and people that have watched, including Phil and some other people, Phil Simms says, Joe, that team was horrible.
The worst team in the league. That's why they're the first pick overall.
The offensive line was really, really bad last year. And so, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, I agree. He's got to play. Like, it would hard to imagine for me sitting here at the end of football season going, wow, Josh Rosen started one game and got to take, like, 80 snaps in the – or 100 snaps in the season. That just tells you that he's probably your backup quarterback and – That's not good. He understands it. By the way, this is big for him. First time you're going, okay, well, as a team could have been, but if it doesn't work here. And then the other thing is, you know, we got to get an offensive line put together for him to find out if he can play. Or this is going to be wasted yap talking about do we have a quarterback or not. If your offensive line is one of the worst in football, then he's going right into the same situation, just different city. He's going to have no shot. So it is interesting because we're sitting here on one hand and the team is jumping up and down going, open competition, best man will play, we don't care. And if that means Josh Rosen has got to sit on the bench, we can still evaluate him. And I don't know what you thought when I heard, and those guys know a lot more about football than I do, but there was just something went off in my simple little brain that said, so you can – get a good evaluation on a guy that sits on the bench? That's interesting.
It'd be a fail by this management
Never,
if he doesn't play, right?
Yeah.
At least 8 games?
Yes, he's got to play at least
like
8 games.
I'm not putting injured. It at 12 or 14, I mean, outside of an injury. But if he doesn't start 8 games for this team this year after trading a two and a five, whatever it was for him, I think it's a little bit of a fail by Greer and these guys.
I do agree. The open competition, to stay with that theme, that to start the year – first game, you play the best guy. Coming out, all right? But there needs to be a game plan on Josh Rosen and when he's going to get in there. And to me, probably be nice if it happened at home, just to take it to another level.
Yep.
And give him every opportunity to have some success. You know, get the offensive line some games together. So I can see Fitzpatrick starting, and he's probably going to be, if you just watched him, you didn't pay attention to age or what they've done in their careers, you know, Fitzpatrick probably be the starter for a lot of the year. But this is a guy that's 14 years older at the end of his career, one of the oldest quarterbacks in the NFL. We've seen him. We've seen the good, really good last year and really bad. But we got to find out about Josh Rosen. Yeah, we got to find out. And, yeah, Zach, he's got to play a lot of games. They've said a lot of stuff, and I agree, and I've gone along with it, and I've been a really good company guy going, yeah. But I heard that, and like, well, you know, if Fitzpatrick plays and Rosen, we can still evaluate him. You're like,
no, you can't.
What?
You can't.
Where the hell did that come from? You can evaluate a guy sitting on the bench the whole year. I was like, if you do that, then we're getting back to a little dysfunctional. Like, he's got to play. He's got to play. You can say whatever you want, but I agree with Brian Billick. You can't find out what a guy can do if he's sitting on the bench and he's not out there stepping up in the pocket and rolling around and checking plays and seeing everything coming and playing in the friggin' humidity.
Yep.
And everything else. So that's the first time they've really said something, and I kind of – I'm in with all the other things and the two-year rebuild and all that. But don't tell me, like, we can evaluate a guy from the bench.
You can't.
By what? By the way he studies film with the starter?
Joe, it's impossible to do that. It's not even – it can't even be an option you throw out there because it just makes – it sounds stupid. We can evaluate – even if Ryan has to start all season long, we'll be able to get an evaluation of John. No, you won't. Unless he's out there playing, what kind of evaluation are you going to get?
Yeah. You said Ryan. You messed me up. Were you think you meant Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, if Ryan's playing, how are you going to evaluate Josh by not playing the guy? I'm not saying start him 16 games. If they start the season off with Ryan, that's fine. But if he doesn't start 8 games this season, that's a fail by this Dolphins team, especially if you're having a bad season. Listen, we get to game 8 of the season, and Ryan Fitzpatrick's got this team 5-3. Okay, you go with that. Yeah, I mean, you can. That's fine. I'm not expecting that. I'm not expecting to be 4-4, 5-3 through 8.
Right.
Expecting to be 2-6 by that time, or 1-7. And at that time, you just say to Ryan Fitzpatrick, we appreciate it. We're going with Josh the rest of the season outside of an injury. Be ready just in case. And Ryan understands.
Yeah.
Ryan's been around the league a long time. He's been on teams with young quarterbacks or other quarterbacks. Last year, another one of the – Ryan lit the league on fire through 4 games. Through 4 games this season last year, he was the MVP of the league.
Yeah, but they had to make that tough decision,
but they knew.
Jameis Winston is a quarterback at Tampa Bay, and they knew they were going to pick his option up this year, and he was going to start again, and they had to get him some starts, even though some of those guys didn't like it there because they were getting big numbers in their passing game. They waited, and you know, fair or not to Ryan Fitzpatrick, they were waiting for him to have a bad game. So, all right, you had your bad game. Now we can do it. Now we can make that change. You scared us a little bit. You got off to such a great start. So, yeah, they had to do the same thing, and we're in the same boat. Fitzpatrick's not the future. He knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got, by the way, he's got this thing figured out. He's coming in. He knows what his role. It's not the first time he's been in here. It's not the first time he's been a Band-Aid to finding some other young guy. He's used to it. He's even said, like, hey, he had to know there was a chance this was going to happen by the amount of money. They didn't give him $25 million a year to come in and, you know, he gets it. And he wants to play. He still enjoys playing. And why not? Where else the hell, where other place, if you still like football, you can make $5 or $6 million a year.
Good point. Very
whether
good
it's
point.
Backup or, yeah. or starting money, you're still in there. You could tell by the way he plays and he's a big kid out there with all those guys that, you know, he's got a bunch of kids and he's a different place. But, yeah, you make as much as you can before you have to really go out in the grown-up world and do something different
the
if you want.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm guessing Ryan Fitzpatrick playing this long's made a lot of money quietly, right? Those fives and tens add up real
they
quickly.
They do add up, yes.
You know, so all of a sudden you're sitting here as – then I saw he's one of the oldest quarterbacks in football, and I never even thought about him. Like, you know, right? Talk about Roethlisberger and all those guys, and there's Fitzpatrick, and you're like, holy crap, man. So
it would disappoint me if Josh Rosen doesn't play at least half the season.
It's not going to happen.
At least half the season.
It's not going to happen, even though they did kind of leave it open, like we can evaluate.
You can't. I don't want to hear that. That just sounds stupid. We can evaluate him on the bench. How?
Yeah.
By throwing with the second and third team in practice?
You get nothing out if he doesn't get under fire out there and see blitzes and stuff and have a chance to get some drives going and line up and shotgun and work on his game, then why the hell would you give up a second-round pick?
Before he collects a check this year.
So then you've told me, like, whatever you saw in camp, you've already decided he's a backup quarterback.
Right.
That's not going to cut it real well.
No.
For,
by the
for
way, Fitzpatrick,
sure.
Before he takes a check from the Dolphins this year, is a career earnings $58 million.
Yeah. Not bad for a guy who's basically
bad.
Been a back. He's got a lot of starts, though.
Yeah.
Actually had a really good season in with the Jets.
He did. He got paid after that.
I'm going to tell you something else he's done a really good job with. I was thinking about this. He's done a really good job with some of the highest maintenance receivers in the history of the NFL.
Right.
And they all love playing with him. And that, you don't say that about all the quarterbacks.
No, you're right. You're right.
He's had some high maintenance dudes, and he's kept them all happy.
Who's been the highest maintenance guy he's worked with?
Oh, Brandon Marshall's by himself.
Brandon?
The Jets.
Deshaun's
although
be up there,
he
right?
got a little bit, got knocked out of it because by the time he got a hold of him, he'd already been in Chicago
That's right.
and Miami.
That's
so
right.
he was getting things, so he was yeah. getting a little better.
Good years in Buffalo, good years with the Jets.
But he had a guy last year, high maintenance, too.
Deshaun. Yeah. Who loved him. Loved him.
Deshaun doesn't take a backseat to too many people when it comes to
Do
high
remember
maintenance.
Remember Fitz coming out in the postgame with Deshaun's clothes on? And glasses? I mean, come on.
Come on,
guys
man.
Loved him.
There's a guy. They see that.
I know.
And they go, here's the old guy that's got all those kids that is still really immature
that's
and
it.
Having damn fun with
that's
us.
It. That's it.
You do a little bit of that stuff, man. It goes a long way. RBC's bonding with the veteran guys with Dolphins like
Smart.
Him, too.
Smart.
And you hope that Josh Rosen gets some of that yeah. and can somehow like fit in. I know, and you know, guys come from different neighborhoods and grow up differently. But man, I don't, you got to let all that, I started to say the S word, you got to let all that stuff go and just fit in, man. Fit in.
Fitz does a great job.
So,
guy went to Harvard, fits in with everybody.
We got 9 o'clock hour coming up on a Friday. So, it's the best 9 o'clock hour of the week when it's a 9 o'clock
Florio
Friday
and food.
Up. Florio
That's
coming
all
up.
I'm talking about Florio and food.
Yeah, and we got check in on the big always busy Kendall Toyota Swollen. And West Kendall yeah. Toyota text line 56022. And we got the poll. How many grown ass men pee in the damn pool?
We'll update that at the top of the hour.
Don't even tell me it's 50-50.
Right now it is.
All right.
Maybe a little bit more on the I do pee in the pool. It is. We'll give you updated numbers top of the hour. We'll give you code word at the
it's
top of the hour.
It's hard for me to imagine.
No, it's not for me. It's not hard to imagine. A lot of
guys,
people. A lot of people pee in the pool, Joe.
I'm talking about, I got this vision of everybody having a drink, sitting around talking, and they look down and go, Zach, are you peeing right now?
I mean, you can't
you
see
You just wipe
it.
Out the pool. Yeah, you can.
Come on.
You had a
no,
couple
you
vitamins
cannot.
Or something, you can.
Then you're going to say, oh, man, I think you got a problem. What's going on right there?
Radio.com. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.